The Liberty Bell in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania is inscribed with these words from Leviticus chapter 25 and verse 10. Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. This is Wynn Greer. I'm the pastor of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina, which is a ministry of the church. This radio program, Blessings of Liberty. Our theme, as always, is civil government in America. A scriptural look. We're looking, first of all, from the Bible. Some people may look and say that it's political, but I hope, first and foremost, that you will recognize that it is scriptural. And we give a historical incident most times, and then we give present-day application. So I'd like to welcome all of our listeners today. We do hope and pray you'll continue to listen in with us. We would like to welcome our listeners on AM 1450 WATA right here in Boone, North Carolina, and also our listeners on Saturday morning on AM 690 WZAP out of Bristol, Virginia. Good morning, Noah. How are you today?
I'm good today.
Good. Yes. Good to have you in the studio today. He runs the production of the radio broadcast, and I appreciate that so much. Now, we do have several days left in March, but Noah, you remember we were talking back at the 1st of March about the weather.
Yes.
And we were talking about how old wives' tale, that March comes in like a, if it comes in like a lamb, it goes out like a lion. Did you look at the weather today? What are we going to look at the rest of the month, probably?
It was supposed to be quite mild, I believe.
Quite mild.
Uneventful.
Uneventful? Mm-hmm. Okay. No major hurricanes, snowstorms, anything like that?
I don't believe so.
So I guess, and I'm saying this to lead into something, that would be an old wives' tale, something that people don't believe in anymore, or, you know, just an old saying, something from a long time ago that might be true and might not, and people sort of don't believe in it. It might turn, you know, we might have a major snowstorm or weather event or something like that, but we looked ahead at the weather, and for the next several days, but we didn't see anything like that. But I said all that to say this, sort of like people believing in the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution of the United States, and sadly, many people, even concerning the Bible, they just don't believe in it, although that what we're talking about today in the lamb and the lion in the month of March, that's a little bit of analogy, but not a great analogy, because that is an old wives' tale, but the Word of God's not. But what I'm getting at this morning is there's a lot of people, they don't believe in the Bible. They don't believe in the United States Constitution. They've never read it, don't know anything about it. They don't know much about the Declaration of Independence or the founding of our country or how it is we got here. And so there's some truth to that today in making the comparison there. I don't know if that's a good comparison or not. But anyway, I do a lot of studying and reading for the radio broadcast. And I read quite a bit of American history. I read and study out of the Bible. And I try to make, or I see, I don't try to make them, but I just see them there. I see a lot of parallels, scriptural principles that we used to adhere to in this country, and now we've gotten away from these important founding principles that our nation was founded upon. And I notice this as I study American history and I read about the founding of our nation and those who came to our nation seeking religious freedom, and then the founding of our nation, the Great Awakening, the American Revolution. I read and study American history, and this thought came to my mind. I was studying last week, and the thought came to my mind that the closer we get to modern American history, maybe from the early 1900s on forward to this present day and time, the more it looks like a crime scene instead of just American history. And what I mean by that, the more I study and read about this thing and see the way our nation was supposed to be versus the way it is now. It looks like a crime scene in the fact that America, as it was intended to be, has been changed, has been dismantled, has been changed to the place where, the way our founders set it up to be, it's just not that way any longer. And it's a sad thing to look at to me. The story of America could go like this. And I'm saying all this to lead up to the point that we're going to look at today. But if I was to tell my grandchildren, I don't have any yet, but I hope to one day have grandchildren. But if I was to sit down and tell them the story of America, it would start out once upon a time in America. And we could tell the story like that. Once upon a time in America, we as a nation had a firm reliance upon divine providence, upon our Creator with a capital C, talking about the Creator as we read about Him in the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, the references to the Almighty, God in our founding forefathers' statements. Once upon a time in America, we relied upon God. We looked to God during times of national tragedy. We prayed to God. We repented of our sins. We fasted before God. We asked and begged for His help. Once upon a time in America, that's how it used to be. But now, we've gotten far, far away from that. You'll never see anybody in leadership in this country, especially in the political realm, stand up and say, you know, we need to repent of our sins. We need to fast. We need to pray. We need to seek God's favor. We need to seek God's help. Those days are gone. We don't see that anymore, but we used to see that in America. We could say this. We could say once upon a time in America, the Ten Commandments, talking about the Ten Commandments, is found given to Moses in the Old Testament. The Ten Commandments, prayer, Bible reading, held a prominent place in society at large. I mean, when I went to school, when I was a little boy, you wouldn't think anything about if the Ten Commandments would have been up on the wall. I'm talking about in public school. You wouldn't think anything about going to the courthouse and seeing a plaque or a sign that had the Ten Commandments upon it, or going into the principal's office or just anywhere. You wouldn't think anything about reading the Bible and having a time of prayer before you got started, or standing up and saying the Pledge of Allegiance, which refers to God and our republic. Once upon a time in America, these things had a prominent place. Now in America, we see that these things are banned. These things are frowned upon. These things are fought against. They are protested against. Things have changed in our nation in a great, great way. Once upon a time in America, and I don't have time today to bring out specific examples of all these things, but anybody older than 40 years old would surely recognize today what I'm talking about. Once upon a time in our country, being a Christian, being a good church member. I've heard people say that once upon a time, all you needed to, you could take your name and your church letter and go to the bank and get a loan. Boy, you try that today and you'll be laughed at. You couldn't even hardly get through the door. But once upon a time, a man's handshake, a man's word was worth something in this country. Being a Christian and a church leader, somebody that was a deacon or a Sunday school teacher or a pastor in the community, that was an asset. That was something that the community held in high esteem. Now it counts for little to nothing as far as society at large is concerned. I was thinking about this also. I was thinking about once upon a time in our country, colleges and universities were established to prepare men for the ministry, to promote the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, to further biblical knowledge. I'm talking about universities in this country such as Harvard and Princeton, and I mean that what they call now the Ivy League. These colleges, these universities were established in our country to prepare preachers, to prepare pastors for the ministry. And now, if you look at higher education across our land, colleges and universities, what they're known for more than anything is not their praying, but their partying. And not their education, but their sports programs. I mean, our nation, I'm saying all these things, our nation has changed from what it was to what it is today. Our nation, truly, the story of America can be told once upon a time. Our universities turned out men who they would be more known as apostles, and now they would be more under the classification of apostates, meaning those that have turned from the faith, those who have turned against the faith. I found an article from December the 5th last year, 2010, an article that was written in the New York Times by Harvard philosophy professor. His name is Sean D. Kelly. And Mr. Kelly wrote an article, and the subject of that article, he was talking about a life worthy of admiration, a life worthy of being admired, a life worthy of admiration. But he said in that article, and I read the newspaper every day, not because I like it, not because I really believe there's much truth in it, but I read the newspaper. It will give you a good sense, especially the editorials and things, a good idea of where our nation is headed. Because what we see in these editorials, these articles, places like the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal, these writers, they are giving a sense of where our nation is headed as a whole. And so I read it. And I told my wife yesterday, I said, this just depresses the life out of me. I was reading the newspaper, and it's just one thing after another. Our nation is gone away from God, not going away from, but gone away from. But this man, Mr. Kelly, talking about a life worthy of admiration, he said in his article, he said, God is dead. Therefore, in a very particular sense, he no longer plays his traditional social role of organizing us around a commitment to a single right way to live. And I thought that was interesting. How could you say God is dead and then say he no longer? But that's the writer. That's the way he wrote it, not the way I said it. But he said God's dead, and God no longer organizes us around being committed to a single right way to live. But he goes on in that article, and he talks about those who do believe the Bible and who do promote that there is a single right way to live. And I would say that the Bible promotes a single right way to live. God promotes a right way to live. We find that in his word. But Mr. Kelly said this about those who believe in the Bible, who believe there is a right way to live. He said, society now rightly condemns them as dangerous religious fanatics. And that, I don't have time to bring out I don't know every single instance, but there are many today. I could bring out many instances where there is a disturbing trend in society to bash and blame those who believe the Bible, those who claim to be Christians. There's a trend in society today, I'm talking about in America, to bash Israel and the Jewish people as well. I seen an article just the other day in a magazine I get called Israel My Glory. And it was talking in that article, it was talking about Palestine and all over there. And it was really bashing the nation of Israel. There is a trend in America to bash the patriot. Those who would say we need to get back to the Constitution, we need to put God first. When I was growing up, it was in style to be patriotic and to love God and love your country and believe your country's right. Now, I love my country. I wished that I believed that my country was right, but I'll tell you, many times I see things going on, I wonder what in the world we have come to in this nation. But I was reading this morning in the Bible in Proverbs 22 and verse number 3, the Bible says, "A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself. The simple pass on and are punished." And I say there's a trend in society to bash the Christian, to bash the Jew, to bash the patriot, and that is just where we are in America. But once upon a time, it was not that way. Once upon a time in America, lawmakers, I mean lawyers, congressmen, you know, congressmen, that's what they are. They're lawmakers. The House of Representatives in America, our elected representatives, they go. What do? They make laws. That's why they're called lawmakers. But anyway, once upon a time in our country, lawmakers were committed to upholding the law. They studied the law as found in the Bible. Once upon a time in this country, you couldn't even become a lawyer without studying the Bible, because the general consensus in the whole country was that the law comes from the Bible, that God is the divine lawmaker. The Constitution is based upon the principles of God's Word. If what I'm studying and proclaiming and teaching today, things concerning our civil government in America, if they were not based upon the Word of God, I wouldn't spend the time for it, because it wouldn't be worth anything. But I'll tell you, it's worth something because it is based upon the Word of God. The Constitution is based upon the principles of God's Word. Our representative, Congresswoman Miss Virginia Fox, she was on the radio broadcast one time, and she was talking about up there in Washington in the House of Representatives that the congressmen and women, when they meet together, that in the House of Representatives there, the main figure on the wall, you look around, there's art, there's depictions all around. The main one that is right over the, I think the way she described it, and I've never been there, I'd love to go see it, but the main one over the speaker there, the platform, is Moses. Why? Because Moses received the law from God. And so once upon a time in America, in our country, lawyers, lawmakers, they studied the Bible because our laws were based upon the laws that we find in the Bible, the Ten Commandments and other principles found in God's Word. Now, nowadays in America, though, the Constitution is only alluded to when it serves a person's own personal agenda. I was watching the news yesterday, and one of these lawmakers was on there, and he was talking about going to war in Libya. And, oh, he was all kind of upset about us being over there, and they're talking about, and I'm talking about out of the Democrat side, they're talking about being mad at the president that he has, that it is unconstitutional. And I agree, it is. Only, according to our Constitution, only Congress has the authority to declare war. And if us shooting Tomahawk missiles into another country that has not attacked us, that we are not in any danger whatsoever from, if that's not an act of war, I don't know what is. If China had subs off the coast of off the East Coast and they shot Tomahawk missiles into our country, we would say that's an act of war. And we've committed an act of war against Libya. But anyway, he was saying, well, my main concern, this is unconstitutional. This is unconstitutional. He said, Article 1, Section 8, only Congress has the authority to wage war, and that's when we've been attacked, and on and on and on. But these same people who will stand up and say that's unconstitutional, they were quiet when just a little over a year ago the president was passing a unconstitutional health care bill that requires everybody in America to have health care and puts us all under one governmental system. Well, that's not constitutional either. But you see, today it's only trumpeted out and talked about when it serves one's personal agenda. But I've got to get on today. We're looking at the principle. And I'm just going to mention what it is today because that's all I'll have time for. But the ninth founding principle is to protect man's rights. God has revealed certain principles of divine law. And what I mean by that, I'm just going to summarize this because I've said quite a few things. I didn't mean to take that much time, but I'm going to summarize what that means. Last week, we looked at, on this radio broadcast, man's unalienable rights. Man's unalienable rights, meaning God-given rights. That's what the Declaration of Independence says in the second paragraph. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And then, this is the principle I want to get across today. It says this, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men. That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men. Our founding fathers recognized that the primary role of government is to secure our God-given, unalienable rights. That will help you if you will recognize that and understand that government, the primary role, the primary responsibility of government is not just to make laws and gather in taxes and declare wars and run programs and all the things, buy corporations and be involved in the business world and all the many things that government is doing today, but the primary role is to protect our God-given, unalienable, meaning non-transferable rights. That is the primary role of government. Now, we find this principle in the Bible. The Bible teaches the same thing. Now, the Bible does authorize human government. The Bible recognizes God in His wisdom gave divine law because He knows that man is a sinner and one person would try to take away the rights of another. So God in His Word gave the law before there ever was a government and in order to restrain governments that would come. But let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. In Genesis chapter number 9, we see the institution of human government by God Himself. And the institution of human government was for the protection of the right to life. And this is what the Declaration of Independence talks about, the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Genesis chapter 9, verses 5 and 6, the Bible says over there, God said, "And surely your blood of your lives will I require at the hand of every man's brother will I require the life of man." God in His Word teaches us how precious man's life is. The life of the flesh is in the blood. We're created in God's image, and God said, "I'm going to require every life. Every life must be accounted for. Every life is precious in His sight." It doesn't just say some men, but it says all men. Of every man's brother will I require the life of man. Then, verse number 6, the Bible says, "Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God made he man." And there in the Bible, God's Word, we have the principle for capital punishment for first-degree murder because we have the right to life. No man, can you imagine what life would be like if we had no acknowledgement of how precious life is? I mean, anybody that wanted to kill another person, just go out and kill them. But no, that's not the way it is. We recognize that life is precious. And if somebody goes out and kills another person, they have to pay the penalty for that price. Well, now in our day and time, we might sentence somebody to prison for the rest of their life, or a lot of times, sad to say, they might go to prison, get out of prison. But in the Bible, God's Word, institution of human government, God said, if one man kills another man, then his life is to be taken. And that's what the Bible says. "Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God made he man." So Scripture authorizes government. Whose idea is human government? It's God's idea. As I said, God knows that man is sinful. God knows that there must be restraint upon man. and man must police man. Man must ensure, government ensures the right, the inalienable rights that we have. Now, I am not anti-government by any means whatsoever, and I know sometimes if you heard just part of a radio broadcast, or you might get the idea, but I am not anti-government. I realize that God has instituted human government. He instituted human government to be a blessing, to protect and secure our unalienable rights. These governments were instituted among men. Our founders recognized this in the Declaration of Independence. Now, what I am anti, I'm anti-tyrannical, out of control, anti-God government, because I realize that the larger government gets, the more power that government gets, the more that government can go on unchecked by the other branches of government, the more we will lose our freedoms, the more we will lose our liberties, our religious liberties, our liberty to go about. I mean, we've talked about these things many, many times, and I don't have time today to get into all of those things. I see my time is quickly going away. But I wanted to point out something. I thought I might get down to this before going off the radio broadcast today. There in the Declaration of Independence. Now, I'm a word person, and I notice words. And I notice there when it talks about life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, where it says that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men. When I see that word secure there, knowing what I know about the Constitution, and that word secure, I take note of that. That word secure is very interesting to me. It says that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men. Now, that word secure is also found in the preamble to the Constitution, where it says, and this is the name of the radio broadcast, Blessings of Liberty, but listen what it says: "We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity." That's our children and our children's children and our grandchildren and right on down the line. "Secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America." And then the other time you find the word secure in the Constitution is in the Bill of Rights, the Second Amendment. The Second Amendment says a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state. The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. And so we see there's an interesting word there that our founders put in order to secure these things. And some people say, well, that's to the militia, that's to the National Guard. That's not what it says. It says the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. And that is a good lead into what we're going to be looking at next week. Next week, what we're going to be looking at is the right to govern. Now, yes, governments are necessary, but the right to govern is not vested in Washington, D.C., but the right to government is vested in we the people. I love my country. I truly do. I love the United States of America. I do not love the direction that we're going in. Our only hope today, I'll close by saying this, our only hope today in the United States of America is an old-time revival. And God has sent revival at different times in our nation's history to save us. There was a revival before the American Revolution. Without it, we'd have never made it. There was a revival during the Civil War. Had it not been for that second Great Awakening, we would have never have made it as a nation. God is so good. God is able. That is our only hope. "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will heal their land. He's our only hope. He's our only hope today. Boy, I appreciate you listening in. We'd love to hear from you. That would be such a blessing. Have a great day, and God bless you is my prayer. Noah's going to give the contact information.
This has been Blessings of Liberty with Pastor Wing Greer of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina. If you'd like to contact us, the church phone number is 828-963-4596. That's 828-963-4596. Or you can contact us through the church website at mountlebanonbc.org. That's MTLEBANONBC.org.